We are going to begin this new series, which I've titled Life in the Spirit. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. But before you just get that planted in your head, the theme that I want us to really kind of explore and look at is the presence of God with us. That's going to be kind of my driving thought. God's presence with us as we explore the Holy Spirit over the next 8 weeks or so. Let me just mention that some of the reason as I began to think about this series, I quickly discovered there is more concerning the Holy Spirit than we could talk about in a long time. And I thought I need to narrow my focus because we could spend a very long, and this may be something we come back to later, but we could just spend a whole lot of time. I do want to say your notes that you have for those of you who picked up a handout, you have pretty much everything I'm going to say this morning. Sometimes the handouts or the notes, I'll put in blanks and different things, but you've almost, you know, the packet on the back, if you have that, you have almost the very words that I have in my lesson. And I did that for a reason. And that is because I do think this may be a series that you might want to come back to at some point in time. You may want to revisit this later in your life. And I wanted you to have everything I have as we begin this lesson, this journey together over the next several weeks. And like I mentioned, talking about the Holy Spirit is a large topic. But one of the promises that we find in the Word of God is a simple phrase, a simple promise, four words. I am with you. I am with you. This is a promise, a phrase that's repeated. God had spoke to different generations in different ways, and this is one of the promises. I'm with you. He promised his presence with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. He promised his presence in Moses, with Joshua. He promised his presence with his people through the prophets. And when we come to Jesus, what is one of the things the Old Testament teaches us about Jesus? His name shall be Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Before Jesus ascended back into the heavens to the Father's right hand, what was his promise to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28? Well, he would send a helper. There would be a comforter. But what did he say? I am with you always. When? Till the very end of the age. This is a promise that's repeated. The promise of God with us. And I think that as we begin to explore who is the Holy Spirit, this is one of the things that I want to focus on. It's one of the things I want us to press in a little bit about. God with us. For many people, myself included, I think when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is probably one of the persons of the Godhead that we haven't spent a lot of time with, right? I mean, we know the story of God. And we can read the Old Testament, we read through we kind of know God's story, and then we get to Jesus and we have the Gospels, which are biographies of Jesus' life. So we have a familiarity with Jesus, and we certainly understand through the apostles when they're writings, as they're instructing the churches. All of that is coming back to a lot of what they write comes back to the words of the Old Testament, the words that Jesus spoke. But what about the Holy Spirit? I think for many of us, myself included, the Holy Spirit is a little bit mysterious. How does the Holy Spirit fit, right? I mean, where does this all come together? And I think for many of us, we begin with questions. How does the Holy Spirit work? When does the Holy Spirit work? What does the Holy Spirit actually do in our lives today? And these are important questions. And honestly, they're questions that Christians have struggled with for generations and generations. And it's no different even among our own fellowship, among our community. We've struggled with understanding who is the Holy Spirit. What is he about? I remember when I was younger, and even still today, you can find articles online written just weeks ago. Sometimes we get mail here to the church that are letters of persuasion, if you will. There were debates, and there still are debates. Does the Spirit operate only through the Word of God? How does the Spirit dwell in the life of a believer? These are debates we've had among our fellowship for as long as I can remember. So they are important questions. But I think perhaps the Scripture may be pointing us to ask some different questions. Maybe the questions that we often start with are not the questions maybe the Scriptures kind of lead us to. Perhaps we should ask questions such as, who is the Holy Spirit? Why has God given the Spirit? And these questions are going to somewhat guide us over the next few weeks. My prayer is that we don't just learn about the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that we come to know God more deeply through His Spirit. That we see His presence has always been at the very heart of the story, the center of the story. And most of the times when we begin our discussions about the Holy Spirit, for those of us who have ever sat into teachings or different topics on the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we start in Acts chapter 2, don't we? The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But what's interesting, if you take a moment to read Acts 2, is that's not where Peter starts. Peter doesn't start there. Peter starts by pointing back to the Old Testament, by pointing back to the Hebrew Scriptures. So as you and I begin our journey, I want to start by going backwards a little bit. I want to take a step back. And you know me, we're going to take a step back all the way to Genesis for just a moment as we begin to think about this and consider this. In fact, it's so far back that it's the second sentence you have in your Bible. That's where I want to begin our series and our study. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Before there was an Israel, before there was a tabernacle, before there was a temple, before there was a church, God's Spirit was present, bringing order, bringing life from what the Bible tells us was formless and empty. A few verses later, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God forms the humans from the dust of the ground, and he breathes life into them. The breath of life. From the very first pages, we learn, from the very first sentences, we learn that the Spirit brings life. And where the Spirit is present, there is life. The Garden of Eden was much more than just a beautiful place. One of the things that we see in Genesis and the creation account is that humans enjoyed the presence of God. They enjoyed the presence of being with their Creator, and that relationship, as we understand, was fractured when Adam and Eve chose their own way instead of trusting God. That's Genesis 3. We've moved all the way to Genesis 3 in our study. But because of this, what happens? They have to leave the garden. They're exiled from the garden. But here's the thing. God did not leave his creation when they were exiled from the garden. In fact, if we were to go on forward through the whole rest of the story, what's it going to show us? God pursuing his people, God pursuing humans, his creation, working to restore what broke, what sin had broken in the garden. As we read through the Old Testament, a pattern emerges. God makes a covenant with Abraham. He meets with Moses in a burning bush. Israel's led through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud and the fire. God's presence fills the tabernacle and later the temple. What's the pattern? Over and over, God chooses to be with his creation. He chooses to be with his people. The prophets looked beyond their day when they spoke of something greater that was to come. The prophet Joel promised afterward, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Ezekiel told of a time when I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. The prophets looked forward to a different day. And for generations and generations, God's people lived with these promises. They waited. They hoped. They trusted that one day God was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And then we arrive at Acts chapter 2. And Luke tells us in Acts 2 and verse 5 that there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Jerusalem was filled with worshipers on this Pentecost. They had gathered from all the nations and come in to worship for Pentecost. The upper room, we're told, there was a sound like a strong wind that filled the house, Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. And what looked like tons of fire resting on the disciples, on the apostles. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit helped them. This was not some unknown tongue. They began to speak in languages that they themselves did not know. And Acts chapter 2 records that the crowds were amazed. Some were confused. Some even were mocking the apostles. And Luke tells us what Peter said to the crowds. He pointed to the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, as he revealed Messiah. Acts 2 and verse 14 and following, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter is telling everyone here, this is not something new. Pentecost was not the beginning of the story of God. It was the fulfillment of what God had promised long ago. Everything that God had been doing since Genesis was moving to this moment. And this moment is when God fulfilled his promise. The promised Spirit had arrived. And what we need to be careful of, I think we may have spoke about this last week in our Bible study, this is not a new story. It's a new chapter in the same story. And that's what Peter wants us to see. A new chapter in God's story, not a different book. Today, when you and I read God's word, we encounter names for the Spirit, different names for the Spirit. Sometimes he's referred to as the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes the Holy Spirit. Other times when we read about the Spirit, it simply says his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Mentioned earlier, there are other descriptions, counselor, that we could consider. Just a few names. But I want us to understand that all of these refer to the same divine person. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. Just as the Father is God, the Son is God, so is the Holy Spirit. And throughout the Scriptures, we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit working together in God's plan of redemption. Following Jesus' resurrection and ascension, Acts 2 and verse 33, Jesus says he will pour out the Spirit upon all people. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The one true God, as spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, who has eternally existed, distinct, but co-equal persons. You may have heard this word, and we've used this word, Trinity, to describe this relationship. But as many of you know, if you were to go to your concordance in your Bible and look that word up, you won't find it. It's not in your Bible. If you had an older Bible, you may find the word Godhead. But Trinity is a word that Christians have used for generations to describe this truth that we find in Scripture. As God has revealed himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So why did God give the Spirit? We're going to explore that question a bit more as we continue to work through our series. But here's what I want us to notice for today. Why did God give his Spirit? Acts 2 does give us a starting point. He gave us his Spirit because he keeps his word. God kept his promise. And the Holy Spirit is God's presence with his people. He gives life. He transforms hearts. He unites the family of God, the body of Christ. The Spirit equips the church for ministry, works of service. The Spirit assures us that God's work is not complete. It's not finished. One day, the God who lives with his people through the Spirit will make everything new. That's the hope that you and I have in Christ. The Spirit of God is present with us now, today, because God has fulfilled his promise and keeps his word. But his Spirit is not just a presence today with us. His Spirit is a guarantee of the future, a promise of what God is going to do. And as we continue through our series, I want us to see the Holy Spirit perhaps differently. Not as a puzzle, not something mysterious and hidden, not a topic to debate and argue about. But what I want us to see is the Holy Spirit as the living presence of God with his people. And we're going to see in the coming weeks how the Holy Spirit gives life, how the Spirit leads us, how it transforms our hearts and our minds, how it equips the church. I hope we'll see how it fills us with hope. Because I don't want this just to be a study about the Holy Spirit. I want us to begin to see this as an invitation of God who has always desired to dwell with his people. Some of you may ask, who is the Holy Spirit? Our friends may ask, who is the Holy Spirit? I think the best thing we can do is start to look for that answer in the story of the Scripture. Who is the Spirit? He is the one who hovered over creation. He's the one who inspired the prophets. He was the one who was poured out on the church at Pentecost. He is God's promised presence. And if there is one thing to remember from our time together this morning, it's this. The Holy Spirit is God's promised presence, making God's story our story. The Holy Spirit is God's promised presence who makes our story God's story.